So if you like what you see, stay tuned.
When you spend time on a river, you get almost every imaginable condition. Heat and rain, high and low, hot and cold. Any given day can be a challenge, but on average, every day is beautiful. In the evening, there is the occasional fisherman launching out for a time of trying his luck, often without success, but still satisfied to casually float along. Even from here, I can see the water swirls of blue and brown around the boat, with the fisherman bending over to steer with the rudder, getting clear of the shoreline and trees. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation from the deck, which is perched above and overlooking the late evening cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River. There is a warm breeze easing up from the south this evening. I've got my coffee, a comfortable chair, a beautiful view, and good conversation. Oh, yeah. It doesn't seem to get any better than this. Aside from having Christ as the center of our lives, what are some other attributes which are imperative for us if we are going to live upright, godly lives before the Lord? All my days are before the Lord, and none of them are hidden from God. The one whose eyes see everything, all potentials and all possibilities, from beginning to end, all at once. I have three of God's imperatives in mind, things we absolutely must have as essentials. They are wisdom, hope, love. Don't you know you need it? Gotta have it. Can't live without it. On a side note, as sub-imperatives aiding us to live out God's three imperatives, the first one is learning the value of letting yourself bend your knees to the Lord, getting yourself some humility. Now, that's a good thing. After all, humility goes before honor, and if you want to have some honor, well, you got to get low first. That is, if you want the honor as God would give it to you. Otherwise, let's be honest here and ask the question, is it more important to you to get honor from people and fit in, or get honor from God regardless of people? Tough question. That's if you're honest. God's grace is sufficient to see us through life, and it isn't written as entertainment. It means we need to get low, that we cannot go through things in our own strength. Oh, you can, but it doesn't go far. Humbling ourselves before the Lord goes a long way to living life well, right where you are. Another sub-imperative is for us to take the time to let God change our perspective. Let Him change your paradigm or the framework of how you see reality. Let Him change it. It takes time, but just let Him do it. A friend came back from the mission field. At a meeting one evening, someone was complaining about their potential problems next year as they foresaw them. My missionary friend spoke over the top of the room, saying that if we have heat, food for more than a day, shelter and water, then we are probably ahead of 80% of the rest of the world. It was quite a piercing moment. I've been told I'm an independent fellow, and what they mean is that I come off as not allowing anyone to help me. You know, I don't know about that, but maybe what's closer to the truth is, it doesn't actually occur to me that I need help. But I can tell you this, In addition to God's three imperatives, it should be no skin off our noses to ask for help. I don't mean cry wolf every time things aren't easy or asking for help because we need someone to do something in order to make us okay. That's called being codependent victim living. We're not doing that. But learn to recognize when someone besides yourself knows stuff you don't. Learn to ask for help. It's not demeaning. It's the truth. Learn to ask for help and accept the help when it comes. And lastly, learn to trust God that He will bring good out of every crisis. Now that won't avert conflict and crisis, but we really need to know nothing passes through the nail-pierced hands of Jesus without His allowance. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Get that down in your head and believe it. Here's the summary of the four things which will go a long way to achieving God's three imperatives. Get low, get a better perspective, ask for help when you need it, and trust God to bring the best from your circumstances. It's the truth to say, God's got this, because He really does. But we've got to join Him in His redemptive work. He wants us to participate in our own well-being, you know. Think about that. Come go with me. Let's go forward then. Tap your toe and dream a little, and I'll be right back. There are a few things God refers to as above all, meaning first and foremost, greater and higher, before anything else. 2 Peter 1:20 says, above all, you must understand. There is no doctrine or prophecy which is of a private interpretation, meaning sound doctrine applies to the entire body of Christ and not just an elite few. Those with understanding are able to extract the meaning out of information. They see through the facts to the dynamics of what, how, why, where, and who. Understanding is a lens which brings the facts into crisp focus and produces principles, except, let me add, we can see the crisp focus of the facts in our telescopic vision, but we don't have much unless God gives us an ability to connect the dots, to see through the facts, to grasp the dynamics. I know some very smart people who know lots of facts, but they have yet to connect the dots. So there they sit, unredeemed, regardless of all they know. The phrase, above all, is used 284 times in the New Testament alone. Well, must be important for us to notice, I'd say. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply. James 5:12, above all, my brothers, Do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Colossians 3:14. But above all these things, put on love. Oh, Jeremiah 7:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. And even Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. What I'm getting at are the things that are above all. They are essential to our ability to persist in and accomplish the purposes of God. In light of that, I think three of God's imperatives could easily be wisdom, hope, and love. Without wisdom, we are like a man who will die because he cut the cords of his own tent and knocked down his support poles. Real wisdom doesn't exist in the simple possession of facts. Real wisdom involves honesty more than facts, but the truth. God's intent in His creation of the idea of knowledge comes in many forms. True knowledge involves some important adverbs. How, when, where, what, and how often, making knowledge directly connected to the word why. If we know what or how, but don't know nor care to know why, truly, we really only possess partial understanding and are largely left with a pile of unanalyzed data. Knowledge means we investigate how something happens, where it happens, how often it happens, when it happens, and why. Without hope, there is only despair. The opposite of hope is despair. Wherever we find faith, hope was there first, and hope inspires faith, for without faith we cannot please the Lord, nor will we do any righteous works. Like in Ephesians 2:12, before we knew Christ, we were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Therefore, which means, as a result of, without hope and without God, we are dead in the water in a dead and inanimate world. As long as people insist on their own qualifications as good enough to stand before God, they are cut off from hope. And friends, doing everything good enough, just pretty much for the most part, is like it's an addiction to being mediocre, and it's disgusting. Without love, we are just a noise among many other noises in the universe. Oh, and let me say, the universe isn't as silent as we might think. Love was essential. And at the core of the heart of God, from before the foundations of the earth were laid, Jesus gave Himself for us on a horribly beautiful cross because of love, which has, as has been said, was worked in the heart of the Father from before there was the height and width and length of light and time. Thank you. Proverbs 4:7 says that wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Well, now did you hear that? It is a principal thing, meaning in order and rank it is among the first and chief. To call wisdom the principal thing means it is the beginning and the first fruit. And in light of wisdom being a principal thing, it would seem it should be the first request of God in our prayers. We desperately need wisdom, because with wisdom comes her two brothers, understanding and knowledge. Now understand me, I say her two brothers because wisdom is a feminine noun. Understanding and knowledge are masculine nouns. The three go together so closely knit, they are together as one, like the three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit in 1 John 5:7. I believe the Lord extends everyone some wisdom and repetitive opportunities for understanding. But at some point, we can safely say, to get more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, we're going to have to get involved with God. He is the source and fountain, and if you got it, believe it or not, God gave it. How many of us can say we know God? If you say you know God and you don't, then you don't. There is no such thing as kind of knowing Him. But you know, Kevin said it, seems that knowing God to a level of discomfort is just too much for some people. But if that's what God wants, shouldn't we also want to know Him that well? Yes. If we aren't knowing Him, then who are we knowing? Because it's a fact, we are going to be knowing somebody. The wisdom of the world is a manipulative wisdom. In other words, because it is of the world, it always leverages an outcome in its own favor at the expense of others. And that is the way of the world. But God's wisdom, which is in the world but not of the world, always comes with value added. That being understanding and knowledge. To reiterate a bit, buried in the word knowledge is what, why, how, when, where, and how often. Those are the six subdivisions of knowledge. Just like the Hebrews held there are not four but six directions, north, south, east, west, forward, and backward. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding give us a reason to be where we are and direction for where we're going if we'll get involved with God. Consider Exodus 31:1-5. There was a guy named Bezalel, whose name literally means shadow of God. As seen in the scripture, God had filled him with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. I suppose I could rephrase that to say, in the very shadow of God is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. According to Exodus 31:4-5, as it was with Bezalel, it can be with us also, that if we have wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, then within us is the ability to set jewels in life, to work gold, silver, and bronze in our relationships, and to accomplish all manner of workmanship in the world around us. That's called doing the kingdom of God. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you get, and whatever else you may get understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are imperative. The second of God's imperatives could easily be hope. Hope is an anticipation of becoming and overcoming. Now, did you get that? Hope is an anticipation of becoming and overcoming, and many variations on that same theme. The idea of the Hebrew word for hope is seen in God's kindness, which offers us a rescue rope. The rope represents the possibilities of becoming and overcoming. Imagine the picture of a drowning man and someone throwing him a rope. Well, that rope is the idea of the Hebrew word for hope. Rope and hope. That rhymes. I see it like this. Kindness through a dying man, the rescue rope of hope, and compassion encouraged the man to grip to God's offer of salvation. I ask myself, why not faith or patience or peace as one of the three imperatives? I figure that faith, patience, peace, self-control, and so on are fruits of the Spirit as seen in Galatians 5:22. They are the results of a Holy Ghost-led life. But without hope, without the kindness of God which leads us to repentance, there would not be a place for any good fruit. The kindness of God creates a platform for hope to stand on. Belief stands on the shoulders of hope, and faith finds momentum in the grip of belief. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, it bears saying again, without hope we could not believe. Without believing there would be no faith, and without faith there would be no righteous works, nor pleasing our beloved. Hope is essential. Without love, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 8-11 are just stuff we do. In the Old Testament, at the hem of the priest's garment, there were bells and pomegranates. This is brought to light in Exodus 28, 3-4 and Exodus 39, 25-26. At first I thought to myself, what do bells and pomegranates have to do with fruits and gifts? Like a fog which drifts in upon us in the evening, God's wisdom slowly found its grip in my thinking. I believe the pomegranates at the hem of the priest's garment, which were worn when they served before the Lord, are the Old Testament version of the fruits of the Spirit. After all, can we have real peace without love at our core? Can we really exercise godly self-control without love in our middle? Is it possible to be truly long-suffering as Jesus is long-suffering without love? I think not. No, cannot. Love is essential. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. A resounding gong or clanging cymbal? What? That would mean without love we're just a noise. An obnoxious one at that. A clanging cymbal is a bit grating, if you know what I mean. In this case, the word love is agape. And within the context of this scripture, it means the self-sacrificing love of God for humanity, which we are committed to mutually giving, taking, and practicing towards God and others. It refers to the covenant love of God for humans, as well as the human reciprocal love for God. The term extends to the love of those around us, believers and unbelievers alike. The word agape, in and of itself, is not exactly all that, but the biblical writers in this scripture use the word in a way in which it's always pointing toward God's heart for us. Here's another interesting view of the bells and pomegranates, or the gifts and the fruits. A dove has 9 main feathers on each wing. If any one of those feathers falls out or doesn't function correctly, flying becomes very difficult. But if the heart of the dove is broken and the dove dies, the greatness of the 9 feathers on each wing or the fruit and gifts are worthless without the foundation of the life of the dove. Love is like that. If the fruit is not rooted in love, it is rotten fruit. If the gifts aren't motivated by love, they are just an obnoxious noise. Fruit without the gifts, or gifts without fruits, is like flying with only one wing. But fruit and gifts without love are just dead works. In fact, I seriously question if we can even have godly fruit or practice righteous gifts without love. You know, I sort of doubt it. Knowledge without love is the world's way, not God's way. The Lord says love should overlay everything about us. Everything. Everything. 1 Corinthians 8:1. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Well, are you puffed up or built up? The end result is an up position, but how we got there is the crux of the matter. In the last 13 years, I have become aware of many imperatives in Scripture. So I've been making a list. It is essential that our love is genuine and that we hold fast to what is good. It is essential that we serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, and be patient in tribulation. If we're not serving the Lord, then who are we serving? If we're not rejoicing in hope, then we are slowly sinking in despair. If we are thrashing around in the midst of tribulation, it didn't change the crisis. It just means we're swinging our hands around, banging and crashing into stuff and being panicked in a little room somewhere. It is essential we are not wise in our own eyes, and equally essential for us to learn to weep with those who weep, bless those who persecute us, and practice hospitality. 1 John 4:19 doesn't say, We like because He first liked us. No, it says we love because He first loved us. Scripture says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is essential for all the God functions in us to work properly. It's like the grease in the gears. For friendship to work, there are essential elements of the relationship which need to function. It's essential there is a two-way street of grace, a willingness to communicate, and being transparent and authentic. It does not flow in only one direction. For friendship to work, it's essential there are boundaries, for no good relationship survives without good boundaries, which define where loyalty and responsibility start and stop. Honesty is essential for friendship, or else nobody is actually connecting with anybody. It's all a meeting of perpetually smiling faces, and that's not friendship. A couple other essential things are the necessity of hearing God and doing what He says. The Lord may approve your motive, but may delay taking action. Not, no, just not now. And we must hear Him and do what He says. Well, can you think of essential things we all must put into action in our lives? Three essentials sit over the top of all the other imperatives: wisdom, hope, and love. The world around us has many counterfeits of those three, but the truth is, only God can supply these things in us according to His riches and glory. It's a good thing. I met a lady at the jail who told me, besides Jesus and God, death was holy too. I figure it must be a cultural thing, because if death is so holy that someone made a saint out of death, well, why does God throw death in the lake of fire in Revelation 20, verse 14? Death is a result of sin. Therefore, nothing righteous comes from death in any form. Santa la Muerta has a playdate with the lake of fire, and woe to them who worship a false god. It is imperative we worship only the Lord, lest we subtly, over time, become continually unfaithful to Him. Let me encourage each of us to ask the Lord for wisdom, and rest assured that as He gives us wisdom, godly understanding and knowledge will come with it. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge travel as a team, you know, and they're just waiting for you to tell them to play ball. Give away hope as if it's candy in your pockets. Love those around you and intercede for transgressors. Jesus did, and we should too. Think about it. I'm Social Porter, and thank you for joining us this evening here at Outposts. This program is brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries. Good old Eddie, down at Area 22 Guitars. Man, that guy knows his stuff. The home of brilliant creativity and dynamic forward thinking. Support has also come from Ray Prater of Terminal Taxi Service in Mills River, Reverend Tommy Proctor of Shaw's Creek Baptist Church, Alan Freeman of Quality Tire on North Church Street, and of course Jeff and Karen of Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. All music was provided by Bill Bruford, Frank Gambale, Jeff Berlin, Alan Broadbent, Phil Keggy, and Keith Jarrett. All music use is licensed by BMI. Colossians 3:14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love is the grease in our gears, the glue which keeps electrons and neutrons from flying off in other directions. Love is the grip of God on our hearts. It is the blood of the Son and the motive of His resurrection that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Love is the strength of hope, the melody of God's heart, and the aroma and bouquet of His peace. Let us get wisdom, have hope, and exercise our love, living in the shadow of God to set gemstones, creating beautiful things of gold, silver, and bronze, allowing the wisdom of God to be like a chisel in our hands, directing and compelled by the inspiration of hope and love. Be strong and courageous, and I'll talk to you next time. Amen.